to preach for 10 minutes and just make fun of Matt Poetz for the rest of the time. Anybody else want in on that action tonight? All right, that's what I thought. All right. I love Brother Poetz, same way I love the flu. Brother Poetz has one friend in the world, and it's not me. His wife can't even stand him. Well, some of you know that's true. I'll just tell you about Brother Poetz. He is a class act. He picked me up the other day. He's been very kind to me that way. Helps me get around a little bit. And so he picked me up the other day, and he said, Brother Stone, I want to take you to a restaurant that I think really you'll really enjoy. I think it really fits your personality. I think it's something that really, really would bring out who Al Stone is. He took me to a restaurant called Fat Boys. I've never been to a Fat Boys. I hang around a lot of Fat Boys, but I've never been to a Fat Boys. I really enjoyed it. It was kind of akin to Sonny's. I mean, it'll never be a Sonny's. There's only one Sonny's. And I was told that it wasn't really barbecue because it was open on Tuesday. And to have real barbecue, you can't be open on Tuesday because you got to, I don't know. I don't know anything about that. We don't have it in Canada. We just eat pork chops. We don't have that. But it was good. We had a good time together, and we talked about old times and how much we hated each other. It was great. We just had a really good time together. And then today, I got to go out with Brother Stephen Carter and his wife, lovely family, and Mrs. Carter. I'm sorry you were homesick. We went to a really nice place today. Wow. The truck stop isn't here anymore. We couldn't go there, and that was always a treat. But we went to the Golf and Country Club today. And Stephen said that, you know, now that he's, you know, moving up the ranks here, he's going to start spending a little money. Yeah, so you might want to keep an eye on that. I don't know. He said he deserved it. I'm not sure what he was talking about there, but said he put up with years of poverty is just a low life here. But I kind of wondered when he put his sunglasses in a little black bag. I don't do that. I don't have that kind of sunglasses. I get mine where all men get theirs, the parts store. Yeah. We don't go to sissy shops and get them, no. No. We don't buy our shoes and our sunglasses together. Are you going to be in charge here someday? Because I'll take that all back if you are. I want to come back again someday. You all vote for me, would you? We'll have a rebellion against him. Oh, my. Hey, I want to congratulate the football team. How many football players we have here tonight? You better all be here in church. Amen. You guys did a great job. There's a man in the back. He's 60 years old. He's raising his hand. He's on the football team. I think I saw you play center, didn't I, sir? They did a great job. They came out the first half, and they were a little flat, I need to say. It was 14-12 of the half. And I tried to rally the boys in chapel the other day just to give them some advice. You know, now, I never played football. I was a hockey player. And if you know anything about hockey, it's pretty rough and tumble, and I didn't play much, but I liked the sport. And so I tried to encourage the boys, and they just didn't take my advice. So I went in the locker room at halftime just to encourage them and give them a little pep talk. And I found out the problem. I noticed last year some of the guys had this problem, and this year it seemed the first half again. I told them, I said, boys, when you come out on the field, remember this, elbows out, not elbows in. And some of the boys struggle with that. And so they came out that second half, elbows were out. They scored 34-12 to win the game. It was fantastic. And again, I want to say to Brother Poetz, excellent coaching on the sideline. When you fall on the ground and kick your feet and say, come on, defense, it really motivates the whole team. Oh, when he goes into the fetal position. And then we're going to have a celebration tonight for the Ogdens. Yeah, it's kind of a sad event. Betsy, I want to say that we do love you. And there is a large banner there, several banners actually. The one says, we love you, _ Betsy. And then there's some other ones that say, Bobby, good riddance. There's one of those. And then the other one said, Bobby, don't come back. And then my favorite from Brother Poetz was, we hope you freeze to death. So just a few kind remarks there. And Brother Ogden and I go way back. We've had a close-knit relationship for a long time, and I tease him a lot, but I hope the very best for you, and I know you'll do a great job in Indiana. and the Hoosier State. And I know that these folks will miss you. And you'll notice a big hole when he leaves. He's done a lot of great things around here, and that goes back a long time. So for all those rotten, nasty things that I've ever said about you, I meant every one of them. So, and then I just want to correct Brother Stephen. Everybody knows, Yankee boy, that it's Nanner Puddin', not banana pudding, all right? So we even know that in Canada, and I don't even know what Nanner Puddin' is, so... We don't have bananas. It's too cold, and they're too expensive. And then I would like to thank those folks at the restaurant today. One lady, I won't mention her hair color, but said, "We can't wait to hear Brother Al Sharpton preach tonight." Yeah. Right size, right hair, wrong color. So I'm the whitest white man you ever met. So, but I'll try to do a Sharpton if you want, but I don't think I can do it. Whoa, wow, I got some Sharpton fans, but you're in the wrong church. Take your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel 13. Ezekiel 13. Now, for those of you that are 40 and older, I want to remind you about the manly years. The manly years of hair care products like Score, Dippity Do, and Brill Cream. How many of you remember some of those? Brill Cream, Dippity Do, and Score. I remember that when I was a kid. These guys today, they don't know anything about hair care products. Boy, we'd take a tube of that stuff. The greasier and shinier you could get the hair, the cooler you were. The catch line of Brill Cream was, a little dab will do you. Very good. Very effective line, wasn't it? A little dab will do you. Depending on the length and directional needs of the hair, a dab was completely at your discretion. Some guys use a little bit in the palm, some guy used the whole tube, depending on the length of the hair. Now, I'm using the Manly Hair Products line Rogan today. That's the one I'm using, trying to get my hair to grow back. I played on Brill Cream's catchphrase in hopes that you'll remember the title and essence of this message as we leave here tonight and go on our way. The title of tonight's message is, A Little Dab Won't Do Ya. A Little Dab Won't Do Ya. Look at Ezekiel chapter 13 tonight. We're going to begin reading in verse 4. It says, O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle of the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, The Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have ye not seen a vain vision? And have ye not spoken a lying divination? Whereas ye say, The Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. And mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Because even because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace, and one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. I want you to underline that in your Bible. Others daubed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower. And ye, O great hailstone, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, Where is the daubing wherewith ye have daubed it? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury. And there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. So will I break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempered mortar and bring it down to the ground so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered and it shall fall and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Thus I will accomplish my wrath upon the wall and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, The wall is no more, neither they. that dubbed it. Heavenly Father, tonight I pray that you'd help me to deliver this message to the hearts of these people that you have given to me. And God, I pray tonight that we would leave here different than when we came. Thank you for the good folks of this church, the great leadership, and for those who have come and those who will leave this place to go on to minister in other places. Bless them, each and every one. Bless our church at home and the nation of Canada. We need great help in the spiritual battle tonight, and I pray that this church would continue to pray for us who are there and labor on in the things of Christ. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I have limited knowledge and even less experience in the field of construction. I tried it. I got a sore back and blisters, and I decided to become a preacher. But I did have a great builder tell me and teach me two things. Number one, if you don't start straight, you will not finish straight. Second of all, he said, the strength of any brick or block wall is in the right mortar. He'd take that mortar that we made for him in building our building. He did all of the brickwork. He was a 69-year-old Dutchman. We did 21,000 bricks in our building. He labored and did every one of them. My associate and I got up every morning about 6:30. We began the cement mixer, and my associate would mix the mortar. His dad was a bricklayer by trade, so he knew a little bit. And then I would run it from the cement mixer over to the wall where he was putting the bricks up. And then our guys would come at night, and we'd put the bricks up on the scaffolding for the next day. And we did that for several months. It was probably the best shape I've ever been in. But he'd do this. He would take a little bit of that mortar, and he would take his trowel, and he would put some on the mortar board. And he would slump it. That's the term. Slump the mortar. If it ran or didn't stand right on the board, he'd yell, throw it out. It's no good. We can't use that. If it's too runny, it's not going to hold. If it's too firm, it's going to dry too quick, and the bricks are not going to hold in place. He was very particular about the mortar. It had to be just right. He would not chintz on the mortar. God, through Ezekiel, rebukes the men of Israel when he cries, you've daubed with untempered mortar, or as to say, a little daub won't do you. God said, you've put just enough mortar to hold and look good, but it's not enough. You've done just enough to get by. You've put just enough for people to think that everything's okay. But when the winds of time come, that wall is going to fall over. And he said, I'm going to prove it. He said, in your lives, you are building walls that are not strong. You're building walls that are going to fall down. You're building walls that aren't going to hold those people that live within them safe and secure. God said, you put just enough to hold and look good. You've simply whitewashed the walls of your life. There is nothing to bind them, and they are going to collapse upon you. I wonder what kind of walls we are building in our lives today. Are we craftsmen or con artists? Are we building quality or simply quantity? Will the walls that we build withstand the test of time and turmoil? Or are we building walls that look good but have no real strength and stability? I want to tell you today that I think we as Christians, and in a vast majority of our churches, Pastor, I think we're building a lot of lives today that look good on the outside but are very weak on the inside. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because when the tests of time come, a lot run away. When the tests of time come and the preacher says, let's take a stand on something, the church gets upset. People get upset when the preacher comes in and says, hey, I'm going to preach on some standards, and I'm going to preach on the Word of God, and I'm going to preach on some of those other things. We've had some great preaching while you've not been here, Pastor, on the Word of God. Wednesday night, Brother Bradley did a tremendous job about the Word of God. Great preaching this morning. Brother Stephen did a great job preaching this morning, talking again about the importance of the Word of God. And we say amen. I heard a lot of amens this morning, and praise the Lord, and I'm glad. But I'll tell you what, how many of us really read our Bibles this week? How many of us really got into it and studied and learned it and built some strong foundations? How many young people spent more time on the practice field for football or volleyball or basketball than they did in the Word of God? We put just enough on to say, listen, I've got a Bible, and I bring it to church, and I got a big coffee Bible, coffee table Bible, and man, look how spiritual I am. And we'll put on the clothes, and we'll comb the hair, and we'll do all the things that we're supposed to do so that people have the impression that we are what we're supposed to be. But I've got to tell you tonight, a little daub won't do you. We've got people that are trying to build homes with young people today, and they're living a life within the walls of their home, and then they come to church and they live a different life, and their kids are so confused, they don't want any part of it when they have a chance to get out. Somebody just did an article on young people in independent Baptist churches, and you know, we got a lot of young people that are leaving our churches. It's not because of the hard preaching. Young people like hard preaching. They don't mind the preacher getting up and saying, "Thus saith the Lord." They don't mind being told they need to read their Bible. They don't mind hearing that they need to pray. They don't mind those things. They don't mind singing the songs we sing. We think sometimes they leave because they want that other music. No, they like this kind of music. You can get that other music out there in the world. You can't get this music in the world. I'll tell you why they're leaving is because there's so much hypocrisy in our homes and in our churches. Hey, listen, I praise God. I don't just say this because he's here. I'd have said it whether he wasn't or not. I've said it before. I praise God for a preacher who takes a stand. Amen. He's not afraid. We were talking about that today. Brother Rich Staley is with me, my friend again, and he grew up in my father-in-law's church, Dr. Roy Thompson. You folks know him. And Dr. Thompson and Dr. Carter are old school. Old school. I like old school. Amen. That's a term the young people use. I like old school. You know what old school is? Old school is John Wayne preaching. Bring up the guns to get out of my way. John, it doesn't matter the size you are, John Wayne was bigger. I like that kind of preacher. I like a preacher just get up and says, "Hey, this is the way it is. If you don't like it, that's tough because that's the word of God." I like that. Too many preachers today get to say, "Well, if I pull back, then maybe I can keep some people." I'd rather lose those people and have people stay with me that want to hear the truth of God's word. Amen. We daub our churches today too. Preachers do it. Hey, if I just, you know, I want to tell people, but I don't want to make it too uncomfortable, because if it gets too uncomfortable, then the offerings might go down. And if the offerings go down, I might have to buy my sunglasses at the parts store. I love you, man. Really, I do. God bless you. There you go. No. not even that much. But we're doing it. And I'll tell you what. There is a pull. I remember my preacher saying this. There's a pull as a preacher to do that. Just to get back a little bit, because, man, you need those people, and you got to run that bus, and you got to have a Sunday school, and you got to have teachers, and you got to have people in the pews. You got to have all those things. Hey, I'll tell you what. I'm going to have what God gives me, amen? This is God's church. Little daub won't do you. The winds of life are going to blow upon you, and some will stand and strong, but some are in danger of crumbling and toppling over. Someone's going to die in your life, and whether you have daubed the walls or not, it's going to make the difference. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose family. You're going to lose a child. You're going to have a crisis in your life, and the truth of what is in your life will come forth. If you topple over, a little daub was what's holding you together. A little bit of Bible time, a little bit of church, a little bit of prayer, a little bit of a walk with Christ. Let's get back to an old-fashioned Christianity where people were holy as God is holy. We forgot about holiness. If we look the look and talk the talk and somewhat walk the walk, then that's enough. That's not going to do it. It's not going to do it for your young people. Young people need something strong today. They need something solid today. They don't have those things around them in the world today. What's in these last few years, as we watch, the world watches what happens around the world, but more so here in the United States, hey, we're realizing that our economy is not what we thought it was, and our securities were not what we thought they were, and our jobs are not as secure as we thought they might be, and this is maybe not as strong a nation as we thought it might be. We're finding that there's some imperfections in our nations today, and we're finding out that there were some things said to us that were not true. Hey, listen, those things are crumbling around us. Our young people, our churches, our people need something strong and secure. We need some daubing. We need some mortar. We need a good supply of it. A little daub just won't do you. A little daub won't do for our own development is point number one. A little daub won't do for your own development. I'm going to be flat out honest with you. I'd hate to push on the walls of the lives of about 75% of the people in our churches. I'm talking about good people. I'm talking about people that amen when the preacher says the King James Bible. I'm talking about people that amen when the preacher says we need to chase hell with a squirt gun. I'm talking about people that attend church three times a week or more. I'm talking about people that hold positions in our churches. I'm afraid the men of our churches are cheating on the mortar in their lives. I'm afraid that they might be true of some of the men, maybe even in this meeting tonight. I'm afraid too many give an appearance of strength. Christianity, I hate to say today, is short of real men, godly men. Amen, ladies? I'll tell you tonight, fellas, what your wife wants. She wants a man that'll stand strong for God. This is no secret. What women need and want is security. They want to feel secure. They want to feel that they are protected, that they are looked after, and that their children are going to be well taken care of. And we've got men today who get up and say, well, bless God, I'm going to serve God until times get tough. And we're going to trust God, honey, until I lose my job, and then I'm going to panic and I'm going to run around like a chicken with my head cut off. They want you to be in the Word of God. They want you to be communing with God. They want you to say, I have spent time with God, and this is what God says. But here's what a lot of men do. They say, Heavenly Father, I don't know what to do. And God, if you'll just help me, here's what I think I should do. This is what I'm going to do. I've reasoned this out. I've talked to some people, and this is what I'm going to do. You haven't talked to God at all. 2 minutes of prayer, and you think you've got the solution. Man, we need to get on our face before God and let our families hear us beg and say, God, help us. We don't know what to do. God, you've got to show me and labor in that Word of God and maybe spend a night on our knees in prayer and then come out and say, honey, this is what God has told me to do. And you see a secure answer from God and God blesses. Here's why women don't want to follow some of our men today, because they say, this is what God said, but that's not what God said. That's exactly what the priests were doing in verse 4-9. They were saying, hey, I have a vision from God. And it wasn't a vision from God. And they were saying, hey, this is what God says. And it was not what God says. And that's what men are doing today. And they're going to their families and they're going to their wives and they're saying, hey, this is what God told me. And it is not what God told them. It's something they've made up to make them look good. And when it falls, and when it falls, and when it falls, and when it falls, the woman then says, how can I trust any decision you make? A little daub won't do you. We're raising a generation of fatherless boys and overbearing women. That's just the truth. And the result is misdirected, imbalanced, and weak lives. Oh, we've got men in our churches, but there's some mortar missing, and they know it. Every man in this building tonight, any man who's a man, knows his relationship with the Lord right now and knows how strong he is in the faith of God. There's sand. And there's water, but the cement is sparse. That which strengthens, that which binds, that which holds it together in its place, we've cheated and thrown into the mixer a little online casino gambling. Oh, praise God, give me a 7. We put in there a little soft porn. We put in there a little social drinking. I mean, the guys are going out for a couple after. What's the big deal if I have a little social drink? They throw in there a little bit of movies and DVDs and TVs that we'd be ashamed to show here. That'd be a good guideline, wouldn't it? If you wouldn't show it in church, you ought not watch it on your TV or internet screen. Don't forget, it doesn't matter about church. Jesus Christ is right there with you. Your kids are right there with you. You don't think your kids know how to check your history? You don't think your kids know how to get on the internet, find out where you've been? Listen, come on, who are you kidding? Our kids are smart today. We have some who have thrown into the mixer a little pirated software. Come on, let's just make a copy of it. What's the big deal? They're making billions anyways. It's stealing. That's what's wrong with it. I'll be honest with you. We were doing it as a church. I'd say to my guys, hey, man, we need something. And they'd get it for me. I'd say, where do you get that? You don't want to know. You know what? Now I know, and we only buy them. We got rid of those other ones. I thought, you know what? I'm stealing. I'm not going to steal cable television. I'm not going to steal satellite signals. I'm not going to steal other people's work. They worked hard to earn that, and that's theirs. What's a little? Hey, our kids see that. Our wives see that. Your husbands see that. And then we wonder why people's lives just aren't holding together, even as Christians. We wonder why our kids are missing the marks we've hoped they'd make. We wonder why our marriages are filled with discord and dissatisfaction. Why young people, you're wondering why you struggled with the Christian life. Young people, this message is for you tonight too. You have a responsibility the day you get saved to start building walls in your life that are tempered with solid mortar. Too many lives are missing the cement, the daub of doctrine, of determination, dependability, and devotion. You need that which men are made, grit tempered with humility, godliness, and sincerity. We need that of which godly women are made, modesty, femininity, determination, fellowship, and all that is contrary to today's favored woman. Too many men and women in our churches are trying to use a little daub of Christianity, and that just won't do you. Here's the second thing. A little daub won't do you for your obligational duties. A little daub won't do you for your obligational duties. If you read Ezekiel 11 and 12, you'll find out that God was furious with three groups of men: the princes, the prophets, and the people, the men in particular. The princes and the prophets were declaring their word as God's, and the people were accepting it, knowing it was not God's word. We'll tell the people what they want to hear, and they received it as gospel. There are a lot of preachers and preacher boys in this place tonight, good ones. There are some fine young ladies called of God to carry the word of God to the world in this place tonight. Many of you have been called of the Lord to teach and preach the precious news of the gospel and the good doctrines of his holy word. But I wonder if there might be some who could be persuaded to just daub the walls of their lives that they would be obliged to impact just to be accepted. I'm going to go out and preach, preacher. I'm going to deliver the word of God, preacher. And everything I've been taught in this college has been good, preacher. And they're going to get out there and they're going to knock on doors. And they're going to find out that people aren't rushing to hear them preach. And they're going to knock on doors and find out that some people don't want to have another independent Baptist church in town. And some of them are going to go to a mission field. And they're going to find out that people aren't just going to flock from other nations to hear us preach the gospel message. And they're going to get a little discouraged. And they're going to get a little down. And they're going to feel a little lonely. And they're going to wonder, why don't I have a Landmark Baptist church? Because they haven't been at it for 40 years. That's why. They haven't paid that price yet. That's why. In the first days, I don't think people just flocked to church. It took one and two and five and ten. And then they brought their friends, and some more brought their friends, and other people brought their friends. And then Canada got cold and they all came down in the winter. And the church doubled in attendance. It was hard work. And our young people today don't understand that. They've got some misconception that if we go out and put up a nice banner and print up some business cards and make it look good and have a PowerPoint presentation, people are going to flock. No, they're not. You're going to have to win people and disciple people and love people and preach to people and get people back to the things of God. It's going to take something. And a little daub isn't going to do it. You can't whitewash your life now and say, hey, listen, I'm looking good in Bible school, and man, I'm scoring straight A's, and man, I got the professors just loving me, and when I get out there, it's going to be great. No, I'll tell you what, I don't care if you ever get an A in a class, if you can read the word of God and move people's hearts and deliver a message God with some passion. We're missing passion today, preacher. We're missing preachers today that get up and just pour their hearts into the preaching. They get behind the pulpit and just give a little dissertation. Man, that ain't gonna do it. That's not good English, but it ain't gonna do it. That's not gonna do it. We need preachers that'll come and say, this is what the Lord says. Hey, listen, the world understands that. You don't go to a football game, an NFL game, and just sit in the stands and watch them throw the ball back and forth. Man, they got the music going, and they got the hype going, and they got the prizes going. Man, it's a big old production. Man, listen, I'm not saying we got to put on a production in church. I'm just saying we better have a passion about what we're talking about. Hey, I think that's what made the difference in the disciples. They had a passion. They went to the death for the things of Jesus Christ. We won't even go to the desert for the things of Jesus Christ. We won't even put out a little bit of time for the things of Jesus Christ. We won't turn loose of our pocketbooks for the things of Jesus Christ. And we can't understand why we're having trouble in Christianity. A little daub won't do you. We need to make sure that the mortar that we are using holds. That takes time. That takes some back-breaking work. That takes a ton of preparation. But oh, when the wind blows, oh, when the troubles come, oh, when the hardships are there and the wind begins to blow against that wall, it'll stand strong. Oh, when the marriage problems come, you'll be able to resolve it and go on in the things of Christ. You won't fall into the trap that we've set over these years where we date and break up and date and break up and date and break up. And then we think we fall in love and it doesn't work out, so we break up. And then we get married and things don't work out, so we follow the course and we break up. No, we fall in love with somebody that God has appointed in our life, and we say we're going to save ourselves for that person, and we're going to dedicate ourselves to prayer and to fasting and to the things of God. We're going to get in the Word of God. We're going to check with our parents. We're going to check with our pastor. We're going to make sure that everything's coming together. And then on that day when we come together, we're going to save ourselves for that time, and we're going to build a family together, and we're going to build it based on Jesus Christ and not the effectual things of this world. We're not going to build it on the lust of Hollywood. We're going to build it on a real love of God. And when the winds of time come and begin to blow, it's going to stand strong. It's not going to topple over. A little daub won't do you. Preachers, missionaries, let's daub the walls of our churches with some old-fashioned, strong, Christ-centered, expositionary Bible preaching, conviction, holy worship, and daily devotion. Preacher, when they come, give them the daub to do it. Just a little daub won't do it. We need to give our people today the Word of God. I like this morning that we went to the Bible, the Word of God, and we soaked out everything that we could get from that passage of Scripture, and we turned the Word of God and read the Word of God and based upon the Word of God and instructed to get into the Word of God. I like that we have doctrines that say that we need to baptize believers in Jesus Christ. I like doctrine that says that the church ought to be pure. I like doctrine that says that the church ought to be pure and holy and unspotted and unwrinkled to come before Jesus Christ. I like doctrine that says that Jesus is coming soon. Amen. I like doctrine that says that Jesus is going to take us away and that we're going to come back someday, and for 1,000 years we'll rule and reign with him. I like doctrine. We need doctrine in our churches today. We don't need some little pep talk. We don't need some little friend sitting around talking to you on the stool. We need a preacher to get in the pulpit and preach the Word of God, because a little daub won't do you. Here's the final thing. A little daub won't do for your outsider's deliverance. A little daub won't do for your outsider's deliverance. Not all of you will hold to those positions, but all of you ought to be in the full-time ministry. You are and will work with those outside the realm of Christianity with a world that's lost. Many of you here tonight are not a pastor. You're not a missionary. You're not a Christian school teacher. You're not on a paid position staff of the church. But I want you to know tonight, you are every bit as much of a full-time minister as those that are. Here's a problem we've got in churches that we've had for a long time. People sit down here and say, well, why should I go on visitation? We're paying them to do it. I'm tired. I've had a long day. I've had to run my kids around. These guys don't do that. We say, I can't go to church tonight. I'm sick. He made it. Hey, I say, if you're sick, stay home and get yourself well enough to come to church Sunday night. Amen. God bless you. My motto is, I can crawl in instead of call in. Amen. But we sit in church and we think, well, somebody else can do the job because there's a lot of people on staff over there, and you know they can do it better than I can, and they got Bible college. That's crazy. The Bible says for all of us to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, not just the preacher or the pastoral staff. We're all to go. We're all to preach. Listen, you're going to reach people that we'll never reach. You're right there in the mission field. You're right there on the line. You're right there in the office. You're right there in the retail store. And there's people there, and they're wondering why you're happy. And they're wondering why you go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. They wonder why you want to take off to go to a Bible conference. They wonder why you spend all that money for your kids' education in a Christian school. They want to know why you pray at your lunchtime break. They want to know why you're not going outside and smoking with the rest of them. And you can tell them, it's because I know the Lord Jesus Christ, and he made a change in my life, and I don't do that stuff anymore. I'm not drinking with you after work. I'm not carousing with the women at work. I'm going to serve God, because there's a little more daub. There's a little more mortar in between the bricks of my life. And when your life is a mess and you can't handle your kids being a drug addict, and you can't handle when your kid comes home and says, I'm not going to like the people of the opposite sex. I'm going to like the same. Those things are going to happen, and some people are going to crumble. And you can say, listen, I've had some things happen in my life too. I've had some terrible things happen in my life, but I'm standing on the things of God, and all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. I might not see it today or tomorrow or next week, but I know and I claim the promise of God. A little dub won't do you. You especially need to be ready for those front lines. There will be many questions. There will be many challenges. And what those who are seeking need is the daub that we have. The daub of salvation. The daub of security. The daub of hope. The daub of promise. A little daub just won't do it. People carry a train load of luggage with them today. There was a day, preacher, when you started 40 some odd years ago. Some of the issues that you had to deal with, I mean, there were some issues, no doubt. I don't take away from that. But I don't think they were some of the problems that we deal with today. Homosexuality was not an issue 40 years ago. By the way, those of you that tell you that you can't preach against homosexuality in Canada, you need to come to my church about every Sunday. I preach against it. I preach against it. You can. We still have that freedom. Homosexuality wasn't a great problem. I mean, there was some divorce back then, but divorce today is rampant in our society. I remember as a kid, my grandma made the decision to get divorced from a husband who beat the daylights out of her. And she was looked down upon. She was scorned because of that. You know, back in that day, I mean, there were some problems with, you know, some drinking and drugs and things like that. But today, it's just rampant. I mean, we're not talking about people on Skid Row. We're not talking about people that are underprivileged people. We're talking about high society people. We're talking about people in 5-6 figure incomes. We're talking about people that hold high positions in our land that are addicted to those things today. And they come to our church and they say, "Church, help me." And it used to be they came with a little tiny overnight bag. Now it's a whole train load of luggage. You better be ready to love them. You better be ready to spend some time. You better be ready to help them sort through those things, because the devil has got them so mixed up, they don't know whether they're coming or going. They're going to look for a quick fix in the church, but it's not a quick fix. It takes time. It takes time. It takes daub. It takes mortar. It takes maybe peeling away some of those old shale bricks and putting the mortar in place and putting that new brick in place and building that wall strong, tearing down that old foundation that was built upon the things of this world and build it upon a sure foundation like Jesus Christ, and give him the word of God and give him the preaching and put an arm around him and tell him you love him and invite him to your home and get to know him. Don't just shake hands with them on Sunday morning and say, "Hey, nice to meet you." Know their name and know where they're coming from and get with them and put them with somebody who can help them and spend the time and put some daub into their lives and build some walls of strong security around them. A little daub just won't do you. People carry a train load. The gospel will save, but the daub of discipleship is an arduous task today. The bus route will take some daubing. The Sunday school class will take some daubing. Your marriage will take some serious daubing. Raising children will take an enormous daubing in your life. Ezekiel 13:12 says, "Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith ye have daubed it?" A little daub won't do you. Let me ask you tonight to examine your life for just a moment. Let me ask you, young couple here on the front row, if the winds of time begin to blow, will you stand? Husband, will you stand? Let me ask those who are teaching our young people in this college and in this church, when the winds begin to blow, when the devil begins to push, do you have enough daub to stand? Those homes that are represented here tonight who have children and teenagers, do you have enough daub in the walls? Do you have enough mortar? Have you just whitewashed the wall to make it look good? Have you just put a little bit of coating on the outside? We call it parging in Canada. We parge the block walls and it looks nice and it looks good. Here I see a lot of buildings that have that stucco siding on it. I don't know what's behind that, but I'll tell you this. When the wind comes and the water comes, and in Canada when the cold comes and the frost comes, pretty soon those old blocks will begin popping off. Those bricks will begin popping off. How many families in this church tonight next year will be spread apart because a little daub won't do you? How many young people will have to leave ashamed because a little daub won't do you? How many on this staff may not be here because a little daub won't do you? You see, church, tonight, what I'm saying to you? We need to make some strong walls today because the devil is fierce. I just lost a dear friend, preacher friend. Committed suicide. Devastating. I'm just gut sick about it still. What happened? Just wasn't enough daub. I believe the devil personally went after him. I believe the devil personally set out to defeat him. And he just wasn't strong enough. And people say this to me all the time, but he was a preacher. Don't preachers go to the Lord? Don't preachers preach? Don't preachers tell us? Preachers are men. All my heroes are made of clay, my father-in-law preached, except for one, Jesus. A little daub won't do you. And some of you are set.